You're listening to Teach Me Thy Statutes, a production of the Ephesus School Network.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. The company of the angels was amazed.
Hi, this is Father Aaron Warwick with Jason Evert, and you are listening to the Teach Me Thy Statutes podcast, episode number 169.
Today's reading is from Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 through 15. Cain said to Abel his brother, "Let us go out to the field." And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me this day away from the ground, and from thy face I shall be hidden, and I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will slay me." Then the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest anyone come upon him should kill him. Father, today's reading begins in the middle of chapter 4 of Genesis, and I'm sure most of our listeners are aware this reading is the conclusion of the story of Cain and Abel that began earlier in chapter 4, where here Cain actually murders his own brother. So what should we learn from this story?
Well, I know we've talked about the earlier part of this story in a previous episode. I went back and looked. It was actually episode number 71. We recorded that episode 3 years and 3 days ago. I'm mentioning that because it's been a while, and I think we should review a couple of things from that earlier part of the story because I think they're of great importance, before then mentioning some extra points about today's reading.
Sure. Sounds good, Father. So what are some of the key points from the Cain and Abel story before we pick up with today's reading?
One of the things we discussed is the meaning of the names. The name Cain comes from the same root in Hebrew as the word for property, while Abel means breath, or even as it's translated in Ecclesiastes, it can mean vanity.
So is this another case in the Bible of people's names having practical significance to the story?
Yeah, and you can tell that even from the introduction of the story, which I'll get to in just a few seconds. But first, let's start with Abel and the meaning of breath or vanity. A breath is obviously something that appears and then disappears. Think about when we're breathing outside in the cold, it's there, and then it's gone. We see it, and it's gone. And obviously, we heard in today's reading, that's exactly what happens with Abel. He appears and disappears because he is quickly murdered by his brother Cain. Now, as for Cain, his name in Hebrew comes from, as I mentioned, the same root as the word for property.
And why is that important?
Because it makes sense of the very odd statement made by Cain's mother, Eve, at the introduction of this story. Pay attention to how in chapter 4, verse 1, Eve, upon becoming pregnant with Cain, says, "I have acquired a man from the Lord."
Yeah, I recall that, and that definitely is an odd statement, but it does correspond to Cain's name in the Hebrew language, as you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly, and again, a very odd statement for someone to become pregnant and to then say that they've acquired a child. It's so odd, in fact, that in many translations, tragically in my opinion, the translators change the word, making Eve's statement more normal sounding to our ears.
Why do you view that as unfortunate?
Anytime the Bible's making such a statement, a statement that sounds so odd and out of place like that, and especially if it corresponds with a name in the story, as it does in this case, then you can count on it being an important aspect of the story being told. In this case, the importance is that Eve has an incorrect attitude, an attitude that the Bible will continuously condemn, and then one that we are to condemn also and to work against, most especially we're working on it this season of Great Lent. And specifically, what I'm talking about is the Bible condemns this human tendency to acquire, to always want more, to view property as our property and not as a gift from God to be used by us, but also to be shared with others. So one of the fundamental underlying themes of this story of Cain and Abel is a condemnation of the human pursuit of selfishly trying to acquire more and more and more. And ultimately, as we heard in today's reading, it's this attitude of trying to acquire more that leads to jealousy, envy, hatred of others, and then at its extreme, murder. And then the final thing to note here, which really proves my point on this, is the fact that at the end of chapter 4, we have the introduction of Seth. Seth is the one who replaces Abel, who had been murdered. And note how Eve's attitude changed. There, when she has Seth, she says, God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel. So we can see a difference in her attitude. Instead of saying that she acquired Cain, she says that Seth was appointed by God. And this, of course, is the correct attitude, the attitude the Bible wants us to adopt. And the narrative then is clearly signaling that to us, that because in chapter 5 we hear of the lineage of Adam, which obviously will eventually lead to Abraham, the father of all believers. And in any lineage of this time, the family tree would normally continue through the eldest child. In this case, that would be Cain. But in Scripture, the lineage continues not through Cain, the one whom Eve says that she acquired, but rather through Seth, the one that Eve noted was appointed by God.
That's really fascinating. I enjoy learning about these aspects of the biblical stories that I think most of us just really simply miss or we were never taught. I certainly wasn't. It makes so much more sense when you connect all of these dots, how much deeper this story really is than if we just read it on the at a surface level. Father, is there anything else that you want to highlight about this story before we turn specifically to today's reading?
Yeah, really quickly, people are often confused. Why did God respect the offering of Abel? This is, again, right prior to the reading that you had today. Why did he respect the offering of Abel but not the offering of Cain? Remember, these offerings were made before Cain had murdered Abel, so it wasn't, you know, that God didn't accept it because Cain was a murderer. The answer to that is simple. Pay attention to the language in the text that Cain made an offering, but Abel offered from his firstborn. So Cain's offering was not of his first fruits. It was just an offering, which means that he made an offering to God out of his abundance and not based upon faith. Whereas Abel, by offering his firstborn, was making the offering while simultaneously trusting in God that God would provide other members to his flock. So only Abel is truly trusting in God in this story.
I think it's important to point out here, as you have done on previous episodes, the reasoning behind the offering of the first fruits of the firstborn. As you alluded to, if you offer the first fruit of the firstborn, there's no guarantee you will have more after that. So if Cain had offered his first fruit, he would have been trusting that God would have provided him with more fruit later in the season. But by not offering the first fruit, by implication, Cain had waited to make sure he received more fruit before making the offering, and thus meaning, as you said, he did not truly trust in God.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thanks for pointing that out, Jason.
So then turning specifically to our reading today, where Cain actually commits the murder of Abel and has this conversation with God, what are some of the key points?
Well, I'd briefly highlight three key points. Okay, first, it's clear from the Lord's interaction with Cain that contrary to Cain's smart aleck remark, we are actually supposed to be our brother's keeper. We're supposed to care about our brother. Certainly, we can all recognize that murdering our brother is wrong, but that's just an extreme example. In a lesser sense, we're supposed to care for our fellow human beings. So that's the first point.
And what about the fact that God punishes Cain, but not with an equal punishment as Cain used against Abel, meaning that God did not condemn Cain to be murdered, but to struggle even more with his tilling of the ground?
Yeah, that's the second aspect of the story I'd want to highlight. The punishment not being a death sentence indicates that in Scripture, God punishes for instruction and not for destruction. So to say that differently, God punishes us as any earthly father would, any good earthly father punishes his children, not for the sake of hurting them or destroying them, but to teach them important lessons for the future. And that's exactly what God does here with Cain. And then the final thing, the third thing I would want to highlight are the from the last two sentences of today's reading.
Those two sentences are where the Lord says that he won't allow anyone to kill Cain. So what can we take away from that?
The lesson there is that human life is in God's hands alone. We should not engage in what we often call vigilante justice. God is the one who gives life and takes life, who instructs, or in the end, if we do not follow his will, at the judgment, destructs. That's the important lesson here at the end of today's reading. Again, human life is not in our hands. We should leave that to God alone.
Thank you, Father. Today's episode revisited the story of Cain and Abel. Father Aaron began by reminding us of the significance of their names, Abel, meaning breath or vanity, which are things that are present only temporarily, as was the case with Abel, as he quickly appears and then disappears because he was quickly murdered by his brother Cain. And Cain's name, derived from the same root word for property, finds its rationale in a statement made by Eve when she says, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." Upon hearing a statement like this from a pregnant woman today, we would certainly be met with confusion to our ears, but it's an important statement because it reveals Eve's view that she has acquired something rather than as being given a gift from God. This story drives home the point that the Bible condemns the human tendency to always seek more, vainly pressing forward with our own selfish pursuits, which leads to jealousy, envy, hatred, and in its most extreme form, murder. We then discuss three important points Father made about today's reading. First, that we are to be our brother's keeper, which implies that we are to care for our fellow human beings as well. Second, that God punishes not for destruction, but rather for instruction. Analogous to the way a good father punishes his children, not for the sake of hurting them, but to teach them an important lesson. So too God does here with Cain in Genesis. Finally, the third point stressed is that human life is in the hands of God alone. He alone is the one who gives life and takes life.
Thank you for listening to Teach Me Thy Statutes. We hope you tune in next week for a new episode.
Alleluia, alleluia, glory to thee, O God. Alleluia, 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 glory to thee, O God.